Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. Raise up for His glory. Chapter 7, the cross, hearing and speaking. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 19 says, "For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you." We see in this verse of a truth that heresies have a place in God's overall economy of things as pertains to His justice and dealings with men. Every person is given the choice. Those who do not choose to fear Him and therefore love His truth are sent by Him a strong delusion. In fact, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10 through 12 says, "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10 through 12. First deception, then delusion, and ultimately unending damnation is the final result to be reaped by all who do not choose to foster in their lives a love for the Creator's truth. Eternal life, divine revelation, understanding, and insight are granted to all who are in Christ. The insight or understanding of heaven is given to those who humble themselves and follow Christ, who is the truth, just as He prescribed in His Word. This relationship begins when the individual hears the voice of God calling him to repentance and responds obediently. The called person must choose to follow Jesus by denying himself and taking up his cross, dethroning himself and putting God first in his life. Below are listed two of the reasons fad books become bestsellers: heresies thrive, beguilers flourish, and deception prospers exponentially among millions who claim to be Christians. For these same reasons, millions who claim to be saved will not be ready and admitted into Christ's kingdom when the bridegroom returns. Here's the number one reason: some man to tell them what their purpose is because they claim to know Jesus and are still running around life confused. Why? Because they have thus far refused to seek His holy face for themselves, poring over His words and seeking Him in prayer communion. They are therefore empty and still void of any revelation and understanding as to foundational truths revealed in Holy Scripture, like who Jesus really is, why God created man, what went wrong between God and mankind, why Jesus came to the earth, etc. You see, it is only in going to God Himself, the one who created us and died for our sins, that one will ever understand His divinely given purpose. What is that purpose? It is to glorify our Maker by following Christ in His gospel, dying, being buried deep with Him in death to self, and seeing His holy hand of power resurrect us to glorify Him. Now, the number two reason why deceivers prosper and false doctrine flourishes is, regrettably and astoundingly, one may observe that the vast majority of people in leadership in this late hour refuse to point people to the source. They would rather be the source themselves. They refuse to lay down their own lives and thereby be instruments of Jesus to build His true church, as they point people to Him alone, to His Word, and to their need to know it themselves. and to seek God in prayer fervently and perpetually. These are hirelings and what the Bible calls idol shepherds. And by them, there are induced on earth, they have scratch. These are hirelings. They are idle shepherds. And by them, there has been induced on the earth, quote, famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Unquote. Zechariah 11:17, Amos 8:11. As he warned us all, many of God's people have already waxed cold in their hearts, leaving their first love, and are forfeiting the relationship and eternity with Jesus due to being destroyed for lack of knowledge. Any man in leadership who is not teaching people that they need Jesus and not him, that human leader that is, and is not teaching them to seek out of the book of the Lord for themselves to read and study, is a self-serving, vile, and venomous wolf. Due to personal rebellion and the epidemic of wolves, men are void of the understanding of their own need to draw nigh to the Lord in repentance and seek the face of the Lord for themselves, putting Jesus first in all things as they lay down their lives, that He alone might reign in and through their lives. The Glorious 66. While driving my car recently, I was listening to a radio program that airs every morning for 3 hours. The host reads from another man's book, believe it or not the Bible. He narrates man's words to his large listening audience, which listens and apparently does not object. I suspect that those who are blessed to be brought into the light by the truth cannot bear or do not have ears to hear such. As usual, what he was reading from a mere man's book was conjecture, human philosophy, foolish psychology and reasoning, etc. Whatever happened to God's word? Whatever happened to the Glorious 66? Where did the Holy Scriptures disappear to? Where are those who are zealous for the Lord and therefore His holy words? What about the Glorious 66 books of God's Word, the Holy Bible? This man and so many others today have displaced God's words for their own inferior and temporal reasonings, philosophies, theories, and rationalism of mere sinful men. Colossians 2:8 says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Those who migrate to the words and philosophies of mere men, esteeming them higher than the words of God, demonstrate that they are idolaters and savors not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Jesus draws a conclusion concerning those who savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. He says that they are of Satan, according to Matthew 16:23. The Son of God says of religionists that they will not come to Him, even though they are zealous of their religion and its beliefs. Always remember that true disciples have an ear for God's words, and like Paul the Apostle, all obedient and faithful messengers of the Lord are mere conduits of His Spirit and His truth, so that men's affections and faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. 1 Corinthians 2:1-5. Now, Ezekiel 3:4, the Lord told His prophet, "And He said unto me, Son of man, go get thee into the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them." Notice, "speak with my words," God told Ezekiel, Ezekiel 3:4. We see clearly in this passage that when God sends a man to speak to His people, He sends that man to speak God's words, and not his own or anyone else's words or message. 1 Peter 4:11 says, "If any man speak, let him speak as of the oracles of God." 1 Peter 4:11. The Bible tells us that Jesus will reward those who love and serve Him faithfully. They will be blessed now and forever with His joy. Matthew 25:23 says, "His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Proverbs 25:13 says, "As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refreshes the soul for his masters. The master Jesus is well pleased at all the faithful messengers who obey him by letting him speak for himself as they simply communicate the preserved and purified words of holy truth, as we find in the Bible. Jesus said of the Word of God, "Thy word is truth." And so we know God's words and truth are synonymous. They are one. There is no need to search the universe for the truth. God has already given it to man in Jesus Christ and in the Holy Scriptures. God's word is divine wisdom, truth, and his perfect will. Those who know him embrace him who is, quote, the way, the truth, and the life, and communicate those things to others. John chapter 14 verse 6 and chapter 17 verse 17. Now Proverbs 12:17 says, "He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit." That was Proverbs 12:17. Did you catch that truth? Read the verse above again, please. Let's read it again together. Proverbs 12:17. "He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit." You see, those who speak God's word show it forth or display it, while those who speak any other message or false gospel, they are full of deceit that the Lord desires to circumcise or cut away out of their hearts before it is their ruin. Blaise Pascal says, "And is it not obvious that just at his scratch?" Blaise Pascal wrote, "And is it not obvious that just as it is a crime to disturb the peace when truth reigns, it is also a crime to remain at peace when the truth is being destroyed? Weaklings are those who know the truth but maintain it only when in their interest to do so and otherwise forsake it," unquote. The crucified disciple acquiesces toward divine truth while shunning and despising that which is contrary. His heart has been and is being circumcised to hear God's words, as he has and continues to buy the truth and sell it not, according to Proverbs 23:23. His heart says with Paul, quote, "Let God be true and every man a liar," unquote, Romans 3:4. He embraces that Jesus stated, scratch. He embraces what Jesus stated concerning his words. Jesus said the scripture cannot be broken, quote unquote, John 10:35. Like Jeremiah, members of the little flock of the Father seek out and devour the words of the Lord, Luke 12:32. Now, Jeremiah 15:16 says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord, scratch." Jeremiah 15:16 says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." Christ's saints value his truth. It is more important than their necessary food. Listen to Job 23:12. Job said, "Neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." The Lord is pleased to grant ears to hear to those who participate with him in the process of circumcision of their hearts. Now, Acts 7:51 says, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye." The religious person who is hardened by sinful pride and is therefore stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears has no appetite for the Word of God. Those who are genuinely born again by the incorruptible seed of the Word of God have tasted or experienced and seen that the Lord is gracious. These true disciples invariably delight in and desire the sincere, the pure milk of the Word. In fact, 1 Peter, the Bible says in 1 Peter, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby, if so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious." Now, let's talk about the affections of our hearts. According to the divine economy, in order to locate where we stand with Christ, we need not look any further than our appetites, affections, and what we have ears to hear. Galatians 5:24 says, "And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Galatians 5:24. You see, they that are Christ have the affections of their hearts set upon Jesus and the things and work that pertains to the kingdom of God, and not the things of this sinful, fleeting world system. They migrate and delight in meditating upon and talking about Christ by communion scratch. These true disciples migrate to and delight in meditating upon and talking about Christ by communing in His wonderful Word. Those who are not born again or are not presently abiding in relationship with Jesus find no pleasure in His words or talking about Him. Concerning those who do not remain in Christ, that means remain saved after being saved, Jesus told us that they will be cast forth as a branch and withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. John 15:6. They are carnal and cannot please God. Listen to Romans 8:5-8. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Romans 8:5-8. Note, the scripture we just read out of Romans 8 says, For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. This is how we can test whether or not we ourselves are of God, or whether or not we're against God and against Christ. One's mere verbal profession has no bearing on such, especially if there is not clear fruit and outward works to prove that there is a soul-saving relationship with Jesus. The person who is not hungering for more of Christ, is not devouring His Word, does not have a prayer life, is clearly not walking with God. The fruit of his life plainly reveals that he is what the Lord terms a carnally minded person, and is therefore abiding in spiritual death or separation from the Lord. This person should either repent fully or just go live it up, because he is going to go to hell in that spiritual condition. When one belongs to Christ, the fruit of his life testifies of that fact clearly. And what he does and where he focuses, that is, on heavenly things rather than on earthly things. Titus 1:16 says, They profess that they know God, that is, with their mouths, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Titus 1:16. Without exception, the person who is given over to the Lord is given over to His cause and His gospel. What concerns God concerns him. His finances and heart are behind Christ's gospel. He is about His Father's business and not His own. What business the Lord declared and demonstrated to be important is important to the truly saved person. Luke 14:33, Jesus said, So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple. Luke 14:33. There's a simple fruit checker to see if we are walking with the Lord in the Spirit or whether or not we're walking in the flesh. If we mind His things, we are of Him, and if we don't, we aren't. The mind which sets its affections upon the Lord is a mind filled with energy, will, and work toward what is important to Him, Christ. The man with such a mind is kept in perfect peace because he is presenting himself a living sacrifice to the Lord, and his mind is set upon things above and not on the things of this fleeting earth. Colossians 3:1-4. Now, Isaiah 26:3 says, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. In contrast, those who have their mind set upon the things of this fleeting world prove they are serving themselves and not the Lord. Philippians 3:18-19 says, For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose glory scratch, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Philippians 3:18-19. Those who have been and are being crucified with Christ and circumcised in heart, are they? Scratch. Those who have been and are being circumcised in heart, as they are daily and perpetually crucified with Christ, turn away from and expose lies, and they have ears for and love divine truth given to us in the Word of God. The affections of their hearts are set upon Christ and His coming and His everlasting kingdom, and not on the things of the sin-cursed earth and world. They are therefore busy dying, that His power and grace might reign in them, to the cutting away of anything in their lives that does not bring glory to God. Colossians 3:1-5 says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, and inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry." Colossians 3:1-5. Only the work of the Holy Spirit through the inner working of the cross can bring about the sanctified life, which includes upward affections and a circumcised, broken, contrite, humble heart of flesh that responds perfectly and delightfully to the voice and words of the Savior. Jeremiah 4:3-4 and 14 says, "For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground, and sow not among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord, and take away the foreskins of your heart, ye men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire, and burn that none can quench it, because of the evil of your doings. O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness, that thou mayest be saved. How long shall thy vain thoughts lodge within thee?" Unquote. Jeremiah 4. Circumcision involves the cutting away and removal of that which is excess. It was the sign of the covenant of the Lord with His people Israel, and is also the sign or fruit of His work in all His people today. Romans 2:28-29 says, "For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly." Scratch. Romans 2:28-29 says, "For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, who pray." Scratch. Romans 2:28-29. "For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God." Romans 2:28-29. What was physical under the old covenant is spiritual under the new. All whom he saves are positionally crucified with Christ, and yet must buy into All whom the Lord saves are positionally crucified with Christ, and yet must buy into and participate in the gospel by dying, being buried, and trusting and allowing God to raise them up. We who have been born again have been crucified with Christ and circumcised inwardly, and are following suit daily in this crucified life. According to the above passage in Romans 2 and from Jeremiah, the vain thoughts must be taken away or circumcised from the hearts of God's people. If a person does not hear God's word, it is clear that they are not His. They are not set apart by Him in salvation and for His purpose and use. Jesus said in John 8:47, "He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." John 8:47. Here Christ makes it crystal clear that those of God heareth God's words, and those not of God refuse to hear, embrace, and do the words of the Lord. Those who steer away from God's words do not get into them for themselves, that is, and have no hunger for it, are simply not of God, according to the Almighty Himself. Jesus told us that those who are ashamed of Him or of His words are not of Him and will not be going to heaven. Mark 8:38. Christ told us that God is a spirit,
And if a person does not worship him in spirit and in truth, it is because that person does not know him. Christ said that this was a must. It was an essential. Listen to what Jesus said, as is written in John 4:23-24. Jesus said, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him." Scratch. John 4:23-24. "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him." God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. John 4:23-24. The only way that an individual can be saved and serve God in spirit and in truth is to be born again. When he is born again and continues abiding in Jesus, he will worship God in the spirit and have no confidence in the flesh or the fleshly things of mere men. Philippians 3:3 says, "For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh." It is only when the cross of Christ has its way in circumcising a man's heart that he can delight in God. Psalm 40:8 says, "I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law," or thy word, "is within my heart." Unquote. Psalm 40:8. The cross and its mortifying of the sinful nature separates the heart from carnality, hardness, deceit, filthiness, and self-will, allowing it to hear clearly and respond obediently. Those whose hearts are full of self instead of the Savior heap to themselves teachers having itching ears and turn away their ears from the truth, according to 2 Timothy 4:3. These who have a mere form of godliness and are lovers of their own selves help fulfill the foretold multiplicity of deceivers in this last hour. In fact, 2 Timothy 3:13 says, "Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse." Now let's look at 2 Timothy 4:2-4, which says, "Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. All who do not communicate his pure word are false teachers, and they only find place with those whose hearts are not given over to Christ. His faithful messengers are joyfully overflowing with the truth." Scratch. His faithful messengers are joyfully overflowing with the treasures he has deposited in their hearts, their earthen vessels, and their cups run over onto those they serve with the gospel. The psalmist prayed thus concerning evil communicators who spawn and propagate heresies that lead people away from Jesus. Psalm 140:11 says, "Let not an evil speaker be established in the earth." It's only as men are not circumcised in heart and ear that they follow, endorse, enable, allow, and cause false prophets to prosper. Only dead men who are in their personal lives preferring the Lord above themselves can and will contain the life of Christ and speak his holy words faithfully. Many today who hold positions of leadership and influence simply do not want to die to self. A.W. Tozer wrote, "The flesh, smiling and confident, preaches and sings about the cross. Before that cross it bows, and toward that cross it points with carefully staged histrionics. But upon that cross it will not die, and the reproach of that cross it stubbornly refuses to bear." Unquote. It's only misled men who mislead men. Misled men are men who deny the daily cross Christ commanded them to take up. Uncrucified men will deny Christ by delivering a message different from the one Jesus delivered. Listen to William MacDonald, who in Milk and Honey wrote, "A third defect in our message is our tendency to keep the terms of discipleship hidden until a decision has been made for Jesus. Our Lord never did this. The message he preached included the cross as well as the crown. We popularize the message and promise fun. The result of all this is that we have people believing without knowing what they believe, with no doctrinal basis for their decision. They do not know the implications of commitment to Christ. They have never experienced the mysterious, miraculous work of the Holy Spirit in regeneration. Unquote. It's only as we cry out for Him to increase and as we ourselves decrease that Christ's power, life, and message can reign in our mortal bodies. Only those whose lives are laid down can possibly be raised up by Him to be used of Him, and they, by His divine ability, make Jesus known, that Christ may be glorified, as the Bible says that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ in 1 Peter 4. Do we have ears to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches in this late hour? It's only as we are flattened, prostrate, and bowed down before His majesty that He will elevate us in His power, wisdom, and grace to know Him and to be used of Him. We are not worthy to be saved into His family or used of Him, and without Christ, we can do nothing. John 15:5. Are you truly crucified with Christ, friend? Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Galatians 2:20. Be it known that only crucified men can glorify God, and only crucified men do not mislead others, nor did they